Hello there. Welcome to the Andy Social Podcast. I don't even know what episode this is because I'm recording them all out of whack at the moment. Heaps of stuff happening this time of year. This episode is not brought to you by my wall-mounted Ice House Measure for Measure poster mounted thingo. And it's got a giant picture of Ivor Davies on there. And it's quite magnificent, to be honest. It's something that I can't even remember where I got it. I may have got it from an op shop for a couple of bucks. I'm sure somebody in my past will probably correct me on that one. But it's been lugged from house to house over the years since I've lived in Sydney, and it's just one of these great things that I've held on to, but I can't find a place to put it. And it's still got the stickers all over it from where it looks like it's been in an auction lot sale, which I've just haven't got around to peeling off. I'd love to stick it up somewhere one day down the track, maybe when we move into our new house down the coast in a few weeks' time. Ivor Davies is like an Australian rock legend. If you're not aware of who he is, he's the front guy for Ice House. And if you don't know who Ice House is, shame on you. I would strongly recommend you go and check out some stuff of theirs on YouTube, and why not? I'll link some in the show notes as well. Might not be a cup of tea, especially if you're from the metal world, but stuff it. They're awesome. I would love to have Ivor Davies on the podcast. Maybe that could be a goal for 2016 to see if I can get him on at some point down the track. Might have to leave that one with me and see what strings I can pull along the way. It's always 6 degrees of separation, so you never know who I might be able to bump into along the way and see what can happen. But an amazing picture of him. He's got this wicked curly mullet, wearing this big white, what looks to be a pirate shirt straight out of that Seinfeld episode from back in the 90s. And it's even down the bottom, it says what formats the album's coming out in, which is album and BASF chrome cassette. So there you go. I'll take a big photo of that and chuck it up on Facebook as well. And this episode is not brought to you by that wall-mounted picture of Ivor Davies from Iced House. As always, my thank you to you for listening and supporting. If you ever want to buy any merchandise from the Lord online store, use the code word AndySocial and get 10% off everything in the store. The store includes all Lord and Dungeon merchandise, t-shirts, CDs, patches, stubby holders, hip flasks, etc., etc. There's heaps of stuff on there. There's also other items, non-Lord Dungeon-related stuff on there as well. And as things progress down the track, we'll keep adding heaps of new things on there and continue to add to the variety across the store. So we actually call it the Dominus online store, but it's easier just to call it the Lord online store for the time being until I guess we fix the branding up for that. But I think depending on where the podcast goes over the next 12 months, if we really get some great traction, I might put some podcast branded stuff on there as well, just to see how it goes in a small run. You never know. Might be a few of you out there that might be interested in something really lame-o like a mug, because every podcast seems to have their own mug. So why not? May as well jump on that wanky bandwagon. So this episode features a gentleman by the name of Andrew Hudson. Andrew is the front guy from the Melbourne thrash metal band Harlot. They've been around for a few years now, but still relatively new on the scene overall in the grand scheme of things, but have been doing a lot in the last couple of years. They've released a couple of great albums, and including their latest album, Proliferation, I believe. I should have written that down in front of me, which is out through Metal Blade, which is really cool. And it's great to see one of quite a few Australian bands that are really, really making a big mark now in the international metal world. There's quite a few bands that there seems to be a real resurgence as far as Australian music's concerned internationally, which is really cool. So Andrew and the guys have just returned recently from Europe, where they did a however many date tour with a Canadian legendary thrash metal band Annihilator. They pretty much went from one side of Europe to the other. I can't remember off the top of my head what he mentioned in the interview, but it was either like 30, it was 30 to 40 shows or something ridiculous. And it sounds like they had a really good time. A lot of the conversations around the tour and whatnot. So the little ins and outs and things that Andrew observed and experienced with his time over there, and also just a little bit of background behind the label and what the band's been doing and what they're up to as well. A really cool interview. It's great to be able to talk to people that are doing great things as far as music's concerned, especially where a lot of people are a bit jaded and bitter about where the music scene is these days in comparison to what they were 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. There's definitely plenty of opportunities out there for musicians. And I think if you continue to look outside the box, and in some cases, just keep doing what you do and just put a lot of effort and passion into what you create, there's plenty of great things out there. So anyway, enough rambling on. Hope you enjoy this one, and we'll speak soon.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, handsome.
You said you're popular. You're probably more popular than ever now that you're a big international touring rock star.
Yeah, well, it's easy to be more popular than ever when you weren't popular at all.
You can only go up.
Ground is the ceiling, you know?
Yeah, we
were on the bottom rung.
And where are you sitting now?
A rung.
You're a rung up.
Second rung, yeah. We're one rung up. We're one rung up and like 50 grand in debt. It's amazing.
Ah, well, I'll get to that in a moment. I was going to say, how did Europe go?
Yeah, it was all right.
Awesome.
It does okay.
Care to elaborate a little bit on that one? Or I can flesh it out. I can flesh it out a bit.
Yeah, don't look, you ask broad questions, you're going to get broad answers.
All right.
Europe was a good time. I would rate it overall positively.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Except for that big debt that you got now, but I guess that comes with the territory.
Yeah, pretty much. Would you believe the Aussie dollar is shithouse?
Yeah, surprise to me. Far out. Mm. Yeah. We're going to head off to the US next year. I don't know what the euro was, but I think it's worse than the US dollar.
I believe so. Oh. Yeah, because I had to pay off the other support bands for renting their gear in US dollars, and I gave them less in euros. So the euro is in fact stronger than the US dollar and the Aussie dollar, and the British pound smashes them all. So when someone buys a T-shirt for £20, you're like, "What the fuck are you doing? You could eat for like a week."
That's like $300.
Yeah, and then when you ask, Hungarian people 30,000 forints for a T-shirt.
Yeah,
they're like, you know, I only make that a week, right? And yeah, like I got bills to pay.
Not giving these away.
Yeah, don't get your merch printed in rich countries. It's a bad idea.
That's a pro tip for next time. Get some dodgy cheap shirts done in the Eastern Bloc.
Metal Blade really fucked me over there.
But obviously the debt that you got now is worth it.
It's actually no debt because I was clever in securing myself full time work before I went. I just kind of accrued enough pay while I was on tour that I came home and all my debt was gone. So I kind of came back with $0 to my name, but I was completely fine with that.
Oh, that's all right. That's better than most other bands. I just had a Tessie blowout then, but most
and
other...
And now there's a couple of Spanish people that have got photos of me and my signature.
Oh, well, there you go.
So there'll be lots of Andrew Hudson's in Europe accruing debt very soon.
I've heard a lot of horror stories from other Aussie bands that have gone over and done the European tours and paid mega bucks like just to get over there and just basic living costs, let alone in some cases doing the whole pay-to-play scenario as well and just be absolutely raped for the next 5 to 10 years afterwards because they can't do anything. They're just so far in debt.
Yeah, that was one of my main concerns. It's like if we do this and it's successful and we come back and then 6 months' time, they're like, we want you to come over again. Here's how much it'll cost. And all of us going, no, we have no dollars.
Oh,
well, at least, that option's there. And we were fortunate that there wasn't actually, Jeff Waters was kind enough to not really expect a buy on. So all of the costs were like, would you believe that renting like a tour bus for 6.5 weeks with two drivers is incredibly expensive?
No, you have to
take like four separate ferries and like a trailer and go to 20 different countries. The petrol alone was fucking enormous.
Oh, I can't even begin to imagine the cost of that. Mm. Yeah, it would be insane. Mm. So any expenses that you paid was more of a contribution towards the overall expenses of that touring party?
It was all paid to the actual touring bus company.
Okay.
So basically they're like, here's how much it'll cost you to get the bus and the petrol and the equipment and this, that and the other for the entire time. So we paid it all to them. And then once we got there, it was all sorted. We didn't have to worry about whether or not we were going to be able to fill up or if we could afford to take the ferry. Like everything was sorted. It was organization-wise, it was amazing. I was a lot happier just throwing money at a problem so that I didn't have to do anything rather than work anything else out myself.
Absolutely, especially because I don't know if you've been to Europe before, but obviously for the band, it's the first time over there. So you kind of don't want to stuff around too much and just go over there and let other people where you can just, you know, handle most of the shit. So, as you said, pay the money and just relax a little bit and just get on with doing the job at hand.
Yeah. Selling CDs.
Yes.
And playing heavy metal.
Yeah, that's right. Tough life, mate.
Yes. Man, it was fucking hard waking up at 2 a.m. every fucking day. Sometimes they wouldn't even have bacon with my eggs. I was like, this is fucking bullshit.
That's ridiculous. I would have just trashed the bus. Fuck this. We're off the tour.
That bus smelled incredibly bad by the end of the tour.
I can't even begin to imagine.
There was 11 guys living on it.
We'll do like 2 weeks of touring like through Asia in like the humidity, and just we're not even sharing the same area constantly for the entire time. Like, we're jumping in and out of different hotel rooms and whatever, and that's bad enough. Like, just between feet and after grog bogs and all sorts. It's just, I can't even begin to imagine what sort of hellhole.
It's a glamorous lifestyle.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
When people ask me, like, what was touring like, you know, sum it up in a sentence, I say it was honestly the best and worst time of my life. Like, I have never felt as ratty and seedy as I have on tour, but I've also just never had anywhere near the moments of elation that you have on stage playing to fucking, you know, nigh on 1,000 people that have never seen you before that are screaming for you. It's crazy. But, yeah, it gets fucking dicey at moments.
The hellhole of male quarters on a bus, a box of just infectious disease on wheels.
Yeah. I managed to not get sick, which was amazing.
Yeah, wow, far out.
Also, do you just like designate one t-shirt to wear on stage every night when you're on tour?
Yeah, I'll just keep wearing the same thing until it just gets too much.
Yeah, I wore a sleeveless Creator Pleasure to Kill shirt, and by the end of the tour, it was white with dried salt from the sweat.
Ugh.
And like stiff as card. Like, when you took it off, it kind of stayed in the form of my torso for a while.
How did you store that between shows?
It got that dirty that when I used to sweat on stage, it wouldn't like soak into the shirt. It would kind of run over it like there was a film over the shirt.
A protective coating.
It became impermeable to my own sweat. Because it was at a 100% saturation.
It was bad enough doing that with like playing, you know, 2 or 3 shows in a row with the same pair of socks, and you know how the sock. I'm assuming that the shirt was similar to how socks get if you wear them multiple days in a row, and they just become hard.
You get stiff socks. Socks I'm really wary of because like there's nothing worse than getting a bit of like foot rot.
Yeah.
So like, especially when you're like you put the sock on and then you shove your boot over it and you'll just wear a boot for 12 hours that day.
Oh, it's disgusting.
You just get swamp foot, yeah.
Because my theory in the past was if I wear the same pair of socks for, say, 4 days, then I can just chuck them out because they're not worth saving, and then I can wear the next
nothing
pair.
Nothing will wash this out.
Yeah, that's right. And then I can wear the next pair of socks for the next 4 days and then throw them out. And so I'm like shedding weight as I go because, you know, socks are just so heavy, you know, in the overall scheme of things. And I come back with a few pairs of socks less and,
the good thing about socks is, you know, they've got two sides. You can wear them inside out and, you know, the other way around. It's like your jocks. They've got forwards, backwards, inside out, forwards, and inside out, backwards. That's at least 8 days of wear.
You can be quite resourceful on the road, to be honest. And
get pretty good at hand washing socks in public toilet sinks.
Yep. Yeah, I've done that.
Just wringing out brown water. Drying them over the curtain rail of your bunk, and you're like, yes.
And then when you smell some of the people that you hang around with for extended periods of time, you know that there's plenty of other people out there that are just as resourceful as well. It's just, it's incredible.
You know, we didn't change our bed sheets once for 6.5 weeks. Every time we got to the bed, we were our sweatiest and drunkest and like most disgusting, and they did not get changed once.
I'm just thinking of the, you just said then, like, just being drunk, just the alcohol seeping out of your pores.
Oh, yeah.
As your body
slowly... Well, it was fortunate because anything that started to grow got killed by the, like, ethanol sweat every night. Just disinfect your own bed.
It was a countermeasure. Yeah, great.
No one shat in their own bunk. It was all
good.
Oh,
that's all right. That's when it gets too far. I've seen people that throw up in their beds and just sort of push it to the side and and hope that it sort of dries up enough.
Cause once just put a towel on it.
Because after a while, when it gets that dry, it doesn't really smell after a while. It just sort of goes
and
away.
You can just flick it off.
That's it. And you kind of get used to it. But shit's a different story. That just... The smell dies off a little bit, but it's more or less there. It's not going anywhere.
Mate, that is it's a live culture of digestive bacteria. It's going to continue to ferment and break down the longer it sits there. It's not like a cow pat. It doesn't sit in the sun and bake hard.
And with all that moisture that's in the bunk as well, there's no chance
this
of that.
This conversation's going really well, by the way.
No, I'm loving the tangent really, we're going.
Really enjoying this catch-up, Andy.
Yeah, long time. Yeah.
We always have these interesting theological debates.
Nah, stuff that. It's all about bodily
shitting and socks.
Did anyone puke on the bus at all?
Oh, God, I don't remember. It might have happened. I don't think so.
Not big enough.
I'm not sure if many went. I think Thomas had a vomit at one point. Ryan probably did. That guy's literally got the worst bowel system known to man. It doesn't take much to upset him to the point of either diarrhea or vomit.
Ah, nice. That's what you want when you're touring.
I don't recall vomiting, but you know, who does when you get drunk enough to vomit?
Well,
recollection's not your strong point.
No, well, the other week when I was down in Melbourne when we played, and I went to Alestorm, and at the end of the show, one of the guys from Lagerstein, the band from Brisbane, gave me like, I don't know how much was left in this bottle, maybe a quarter of Captain Morgan's, and just gave it to me and said, "Scull it." And he had his camera out, so I thought, oh, I'm on video, and so.
People might like me.
Yeah, it's all about the likes. And and so bottoms up, and then I think within the next 20 minutes, don't know what happened, but I found myself walking up whatever street, trying to find my hotel with like 40 nuggets in my hand. I don't even remember getting nuggets, and then just and then finding like vomit in my beard and just going, what's going on? And then luckily Adam, our drummer at the moment, because we've got a little Facebook group chat, and I was just writing these incoherent messages on the group chat. And so he wrote something like, I'm coming out the front, I'll keep an eye out for you. So he's out the front trying to search for me, and all I can remember is him yelling out, Andy, over here. And so and got up to the room, and then just chundered all in the basin. Luckily I got to the basin, and I just remember looking in the basin, and it was just all McNugget right up to the top of the basin. And then I'm like looking at it going, it's not going down the drain. And I keep thinking I've only got like 3 hours until I have to get up. So we go to the airport, and I'm freaking out about that. And then I'm mashing my index finger down the hole.
Into the plug.
Yeah, to try and get
push chunks of nuggets.
Yeah, trying to push it through. And then you know what the most heartbreaking thing of the whole event was? Pass out. I wake up like 3 hours later, just death warmed up. And I look over, and there's still 20 nuggets left on the bench. And I go, oh, fuck yeah, nuggets. And then my guts just went nut. And because I was just so pissed still, I got upset, like really genuinely upset that I couldn't eat my nuggets. And the fact that I spent money on these nuggets and I didn't even eat them. And then remembering that I spewed up half of them anyway and just being so down on myself.
This is a shocking way to spend $19.90.
Oh, yeah. It was a great investment. It was one of my finer moments. So, it was a good time in Melbourne.
40 nuggets.
Yeah. What a way to...
Because you need 40 nuggets.
Yeah, everyone needs 40 nuggets in their life, definitely. Yeah. It was the best decision. I do not even remember walking into a Macca's. I don't know where it was. I can't even remember seeing one between the venue and where we were staying as well. So I don't know what happened, but somehow they ended up in my hand, and then I checked my bank balance later. I could see I actually used my pay pass. So I thought, oh, well, I've spent the money. But then I thought, whoever served me at that counter, what did they see? Like who appeared in front of them, and how did they even get out of their mouth 40 nuggets? Like, how did this conversation go down? How did this transaction take place?
You always get worried about the conversations you've had when you can't remember how drunk you were. You always think, the amount of people I must have just insulted aggressively and racially abused because I'm a genuinely good person at heart.
Oh, well, YOLO.
Have you got a drunken alter ego name?
No, not that I'm aware of. Have you?
See, when I drink too much, there's someone that people refer to as Muggsy.
Muggsy.
Muggsy comes out to play.
And is Muggsy a complete asshole?
If you thought I was a surly motherfucker, you would not believe how aggressive Muggsy is.
Oh, awesome. That's
Muggsy's just an awful person to be around.
So that's what the world needs.
Yeah.
So there would have been some interesting adventures when Muggsy comes out to play.
Reproachable alcoholics, that's what we need.
All right, going back to the tour. I was going to ask you, and maybe we've already sort of touched on this, what was the biggest pain in the ass of that entire tour?
Oh, God. Look, there were some pretty irritating moments. Often our sound check time would be very, very limited. We had to set up, like, needlessly quickly, get everything, like, mic'd up really fast, and sound check, because it'd be, like, 20 minutes till doors, and we were only just allowed on stage. And there would be about 7 stage hands that didn't speak English that were also, incredibly lazy. But there was no sense of urgency for them because they didn't give a shit. They were just like, whatever, I'm getting paid an hourly rate. Like, fuck it, I'm gonna run these mics at my own time. And that would get pretty annoying. Oh. And the fact that we were getting that little time to set up was, you just kind of accept it.
You
realize how quickly you can actually set up and sound check. You get pretty efficient.
I was going to say, by the end of that, how many dates was the tour?
It was 34 shows. Two of them, however, were cancelled.
Ah, right. Where were they?
We didn't end up going to Denmark, which I was pretty upset about, because Aaron from Annihilator is allegedly mates with Michael Denner, and he was like, we can go around to his house. And I was like, oh, fucking hell, I'm going to meet Michael Denner. That's crazy. And the other one, the last show of the tour, like the last night when we were supposed to just like go crazy and let loose, the sound, like the power in the venue was so fucked that when the amps were on, they would buzz louder than the actual guitar signal. So we had to cancel the show.
And where was that one?
It was in Cologne. And we didn't cancel it. It didn't get cancelled until about half an hour after doors, where everyone was queued up waiting to get let in, being like, why aren't we let in yet? And then they had to send security out and be like, the show's off. Go home.
Wow, what an anticlimax. Well,
yeah, but lots of people didn't go home and just stood out the front of the venue drinking, and we just went out and drunk with all the people.
Oh, fair enough. Oh, that's kind of...
Because it wasn't our choice to cancel the show, so we weren't hiding. So we
That's right.
We just went and got pissed with the locals.
Oh, cool.
And sold the last of our merch.
Oh, nice. All right, there was a positive there. And best moment?
Best moment.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, after like 6.5 weeks, everything kind of blends into one.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really remember which country you were in when you played that really fucking awesome show where there was like a really hot chick in the front row that was just like screaming at you, and at one point even called out your name, and you're like, what is even happening right now? But there was some shows where the crowd response was so ridiculous. Like, for a minute, there was like that little boy inside of me went, holy shit, Hudson, you can actually fucking do this.
Nice.
This could become a reality. And you really, you can't put a price on that feeling.
Some of those.
When you got like your little toy guitar for like Christmas present when you were 5 years old, one of those little electric ones where you press a button and it makes a noise. And as soon as you got it, you just put it on and like dance around the house for hours.
Yeah.
And your mum's like, fuck, what have I done? And then to like, 20 years later, be actually thinking that you could possibly do it, pretty crazy.
You sort of had those moments while you were on stage or while you were over there?
Yeah. Like once every couple of shows, you just had that realization that you were, not only were you currently living your dream, but you may be able to actually pursue this.
Yeah.
Like, things went that well response-wise, and like even label-wise, like the Metal Blade reps that came down were absolutely stoked with everything was going, to the point where I was like, oh my God, we might get more tours out of this, and it was just incredible.
That's cool.
Scary. I'm absolutely knackered. I need a couple of months off, but so doing that again.
That's cool. It's I think it's a hard thing for a lot of people. It's like something I struggle with, where I'm just in autopilot. I don't even take anything in. I'm too busy worried about the next thing and trying to get to the next thing, trying to make sure nothing falls apart. And it's only months later down the track that something clicks and I start thinking, oh yeah, that was a fun time. And but at the time,
we had a good time.
Yeah, that's it. But in the moment, I really struggled to sort of have any sort of clarity and go, holy shit, like, we're doing this, or we're in this country, or wherever we are. And it does happen every once in a while, but I struggle with it. I'm constantly stressing about the next thing, or thinking about, oh, what I need to do for the next thing. So it's cool to hear that, that you're able, you've been able to have a few sort of moments.
It's amazing
like that.
What you put yourself through for those like 40 minutes on stage.
Yeah.
Like, you just, You break yourself, and then you get up there and you just forget about everything, and you just like live it, and then you get off stage and you pack it all up, and then you do it all again the next day.
That's right.
So what was the dumbest thing that I worked out, which I really shouldn't have, is once we flew from Melbourne to Abu Dhabi, then Abu Dhabi to Frankfurt, we got to our little hotel room and I went, by the way, boys, we just spent more hours in transit than we're going to spend on stage for the next 6.5 weeks.
that puts everything into perspective.
Yeah. If we could just like line up all of our sets back to back, we'd still be a couple of hours short of the flight we just did.
It's a funny thing because we think about that all the time now. Like we notice it more than ever. Like if we even just playing
doing interstate shows,
yeah,
when you drive.
Oh fuck!
We're about to drive 20 hours to do a 40-minute show.
That's it.
Wagga.
Oh man. And it's just, yeah, that's it. All the travel time, all the waiting, all the sitting around. And, you know, yeah, you still have a good time. The journey's part of the whole process. But for the goal of getting on stage for, depending on the show, anywhere between 30 minutes and probably an hour or an hour and a half, depending on what you're doing. And it's just, yeah, I think anybody from the outside looking in probably doesn't quite understand the concept. But it's a weird scenario that we put ourselves through.
Yeah, we're weird people.
On the topic of moments with best and worst or pain in the ass, going between all the countries and obviously going through checkpoints and at the borders and whatnot, do you have any sort of hairy moments at all or any sort of...
Switzerland can get fucked.
Yeah, right.
Switzerland, we were at the border both times for about 5 hours because they need to catalogue every single item of merch you've got and they need to take a percentage of how much it's worth. And then when you get to the other border and you're leaving, they give you back whatever you haven't sold to make sure that you pay tax on whatever money you make selling merch in the country.
Wow. Jeez.
It was absolutely shocking. Every other border crossing we did, we were all asleep. Every time the armed guards got on the bus to make sure that there was only, 10 people sleeping in the bunks.
Yeah.
Because we had 10 passports. People with MP5s would stroll up and down. We were all fast asleep.
Wow.
There was only one time when they woke us up to have a look at the people and the passport photos. But, they were perfectly pleasant. And that was, that was in, like, Croatia or something.
Yeah. Wow.
Switzerland was hairy as. It was just frustrating. And they just grilled the shit out of our tour manager.
And I think that might have been, I might have seen some posts on Facebook from you guys. Was that the one where, because I've never been to Switzerland before, where it was just ridiculously expensive as well?
Tom bought a large meal from Burger King and it was $25 Australian. It was fucking Burger King.
That's gourmet dining.
That was the downside to Switzerland, but the upside to having such economic power is the fact that they did not think before spending like 30 francs on a t-shirt. They would just, kids, like 18-year-old kids would come up with a 100-franc note and just be like, give me one of everything you're selling. they just had money. They just had money coming out of it. It was amazing.
Oh, well, I guess...
From a business point of view, really great country to play.
Yeah, right.
But the richer the country is, the more boring the audience.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, the economically dire countries, the crowds just go mental.
Yeah, I've seen that. I mean, I've been to Romania and Serbia, and those crowds there were just manic. They were just animalistic, just crazy. And
the Serbian crowd went nuts for our line check.
Yeah. I remember putting waters on stage before Dungeon got up to play.
People are just like,
yeah, just going mental. And I go, I'm not even fucking playing. I'm just putting the waters on stage and they're just going nuts. It's incredible. And they were hanging off the roof. It was like an outdoor, like in a car park thing. And they were hanging off the rooftops and it was just absolutely insane. But no, I can agree with that. When we played, we would go from there and then, play somewhere like in Munich in Germany and just be just people standing there like a Melbourne crowd with their arms folded. And
hey, you leave my beautiful city alone.
You guys have got a reputation. Mind you, at least you got a crowd down there. Sydney's got no one at the
moment. At least there's people standing there with their arms crossed.
Yeah, that's right. I'd rather a room full of crossed arms.
Disinterested Melbourneites and no Sydney girls.
Yeah, just no one, an empty room. Oh, there you go. So Switzerland, eh?
Yeah,
so,
the German crowds were, Germany's a good country to play thrash.
Yeah, thrash.
Everyone was warning us, like, oh, the Germans are a bit snobby. And, like, every single person that walked through the door was wearing a battle vest. And I was like, oh, I'm sorted. I've got this. These are my people.
they definitely know their stuff there. They're enthusiasts when it comes to especially thrash and traditional metal, like your old school heavy metal stuff. Like that's shit like Manowar. That stuff's just crazy there. And even in those Eastern Eastern European countries, that stuff's just, it's a religion. Just it's insane, absolutely insane.
Germany was fantastic. Here's a weird one for you. This, yeah. Something I noticed overseas that I did not expect to see is the amount of airborne patches I saw.
They're huge. They are absolutely huge.
I had no idea, and every single person, like this, every battle vest had an airborne patch. And I was like, what the fuck is even going on?
Because even Rose Tattoo are still massive over there. Like, they still do a lot of major festivals, and especially in Germany, the Germans worship, they lap up that stuff. And so, and they love AC/DC, and then that's where, you know, obviously Airborne's come in, and they've just gone, oh, yeah, I can pump my fist to this. And you know, and chant the three words that they're yelling through the mic, and they love it. They absolutely love it. But I mean, we've got a song, is a Dungeon song, Steelheart, and it's the dumbest fucking song Tim's ever written. And it's just so,
and the competition there is pretty steep.
and this, you know, it's such a dumb song, but it's just one of those songs that you play live and it goes down fairly well. So we just always keep playing it. But that's the one that Germans just get so passionate about. They will not stop talking about how Steelheart's their favorite song. And I've got, and then I just look at the other songs or the other bands that they love over there, and I go, oh, well, that probably makes sense. I think it's just because
everything falls into place.
Yeah, well, I think it's got the whole Steelheart word and then the whole whoa stuff in there, and I think they love that and throwing their fists up in the air. So I don't know. Maybe
every time I miss you guys live, I'm devastated that I missed out on seeing Tyranno del Mar again.
Oh, right. Oh, well.
That is the reason I live that song.
Well,
I don't even know why.
I'm certainly sick of playing that song, but I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon.
You can't.
Yeah.
Tim lives for that moment of being like, ooh, do we have any pirates in here?
he loves that stage banter. He's got that down to a fine art. And I think everyone, we always live in hope. Or at least, I don't know about the other guys, I'm sure they're the same boat, but we always live in hope that whenever we play that song and we get to that middle section with the sweeps, that there's at least a few people in the crowd that have never seen us before, and they go, oh my God, look, there's two guys sweeping. And that's enough, because it used to happen quite a bit, and then we stopped playing it for ages because, like, we played this song to death, and then we started bringing it back. And so every once in a while, you'll get one guy who's just drunk as fuck at the end of the night, just going, oh man, that crazy stuff in the middle is amazing.
That bit in the song, it was like, bah, bah,
bah, bah. Yeah, and I'm like, cheers, mate. You want to buy a CD? It's on this one.
How good do you get at doing that?
Oh, yeah, I'm working.
Dude, that set was so good. Thanks so much, man. Have you got our albums?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can get that one straight from here. And if you buy a second one, I'll give you
10 euros. That's pick it up.
I'll give you $5 off if you buy more than two or whatever. Oh, here's a combo deal. Yeah. I've worked, I've definitely improved my sales techniques working that merch table over the last few years.
I had to develop mine from scratch.
Yeah. It's tough to begin with because you really feel like you're whoring yourself big time. Please come over and buy something from me. You know, we're good. I promise. I promise that you won't regret it.
I'm not a bad person.
Yeah, that's.
I need to eat. I need 40 nuggets now.
Yeah, that's right. Nine. I promise I won't spew them up everywhere. Going back to the tour you're mentioning with Metal Blade, and I probably should have just, you know, made a bit of an effort and looked it up online, but. With Metal Blade.
That wouldn't be the Andy I know, though.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Thank you. Is it just in Europe, Metal Blade Europe, or is it? Have you got a worldwide deal with Metal Blade?
We've got worldwide distro. I've seen photos of people who bought it in the US and of like loving the album. You know,
cool.
So you know, you can get it in other countries. I believe they sell to countries that they don't have distribution for. I think some of the South Americans, they just sell direct to the store.
Yep.
Which they do as well. So it's, you know, it's worldwide as far as I can tell. I'm pretty sure if you walked into JB and said, I'd like this album, they'd be like, we don't have it, but we might be able to get it.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's...
be in their catalogue, yeah, definitely. Oh, cool. And what's the... how long's it been out for now through Metal Blade?
Since September 18th.
All right.
And came out on the same day as Annihilator's new album.
Oh, was that... Yeah. Are they on Metal Blade?
No, they're not. They'd probably be on their own record label. I'm pretty sure Jeff Waters does everything himself now.
Oh, right. So
Water Sound Studios and Neverland Touring or something.
Oh, right. Yep. Okay.
Like Neverland Records.
Like the puns. There you go. Nice links back.
But that man likes to be in control.
Oh, He's look. I won't press you for too many details, but he seems to be a cool guy. Like just from what I've got like an Annihilator DVD. It's like this gigantic history of the band and everything. And he seems to be a really cool guy. But he definitely, I mean, it's his band, of course. I mean, he's been there since day dot, and definitely the man behind it all. But is he a cool guy?
He is. He's a bit you know, you keep your distance at the start because you don't want to piss off, you know, Jeff Waters, because you're like fucking. Stay out of his way, let him do his rock star things. And then I'll never forget it was after one show and we were outside the buses just talking and he was standing there listening to a conversation we were having and he walked over to me and then turned side on and then farted on me. and he just went, good talk, and like walked off. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened. And everyone else in Annihilator were like, nah, he farts on everyone all the time.
If he farts on you, how he likes shows you.
He for a lot of the tour had a ladle hanging on his lanyard as well. So he had his, you know, his artist pass and a ladle.
Right.
And apparently he used to detach the ladle, fart into it, and then like waft it into people's faces. the guy's obsessed with fart humor. But yeah, he was a lot of fun. Good sense of humor.
Wow.
Yeah, we had some pretty amusing moments.
That's cool. I like that as an introduction. It's just like, you know, welcome to the tour. Fart on you. Yeah, awesome.
Fart on me.
Why not?
Like, yeah. Thanks, Jeff.
Something different. Everyone usually just goes
and shakes their hand. I'm never washing these pants again.
Yeah, I bet you try to get your nose right down there just to inhale it, you know, just get that sweet late 80s thrash.
I just wanted to know what chicken and corn smelt like out the other day.
So just pure coincidence that that both albums got released the same day.
Yeah, that was not intentional.
Pretty cool.
But yeah, they just came out at the same time, and so yeah, we had shitloads of press from Metal Blade, which is always helpful.
Yep.
And Metal Blade were extremely helpful on tour. Incredibly nice people. You know when you like start dealing with bigger labels, and you're like, these guys are going to be bastards. They're going to be so fucking rude to us, and they're not going to give a shit. Mm. And they were just like nothing but insanely pleasant.
That's cool. That's
the night that like four of them came to a show, and one of them just ended up buying me like shitloads of craft beers from this like fancy bar, and then we just like talked. Oh God, I don't even recall. Awesome dudes.
That's
just awesome guys.
That's refreshing to hear, because it just. You don't hear much of that anymore. I mean, we've had so many dramas with labels over the years and people just promising stuff. Even the labels where we've had a relatively good experience with, and then we get over to whatever country, like we've had some of the best times and some of the worst times in Japan, and just where you think you've got a great relationship and then suddenly they just disappear and they don't show up to any of your shows. You find out that they've done no promo and you just go, what the fuck? And then you find out that it just becomes a bit more common than what it used to be, and a lot of other bands are experiencing as well. So that's really cool, especially for a label like Metal Blade, where you could very easily be classed as, well, we've got you on the roster, you're filling out a spot, and you know you're there as far as a quota of a number of bands that we've got to sign each year or whatever it might be, and you know they go through the motions. So I mean, the fact that you've got guys coming out and interacting and helping with some promo and everything, I think that's just it's fucking huge. That's awesome.
Yeah, the main guy from Germany, Andreas, came to the second last show and just a really awesome dude, but also awesome. Like super matter of fact. So you're having a chat with him and he's like, yeah, man, really happy with everything going. You know, we're making, you know, good amount of sales. You know, a lot of the countries are reordering stock, which means, you know, things are going well. And I was like, that's awesome, man. I really hope it keeps selling. And, you know, I hope it goes really well for you guys. And he goes, yeah, I hope it goes well too. Otherwise, we're just going to drop you.
Is he German?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was so German.
Yeah. There's there's no tact or sarcasm or anything like that. It's Oh man. I've experienced similar situations like that as well. But that's cool though. It's good that you've. I mean, it's early days for you guys, but it sounds like you've really sort of hit your stride and you're getting some good response. And are you getting, well, do you have any idea of how it's going overall, or it's just more of a feel that you guys are getting from the label more so than anything else?
We've got, I asked, what's his name? Bart. His name isn't Bart, but he goes by Bart. I asked him how sales were going and he's like, I don't have exact figures, but he figures.
Yeah.
He didn't have exact figures for me, but he had rough numbers.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that surprised me. He's like, yeah, it's going pretty well. And then when Andreas came on later in the month, I spoke to him about it. He's like, yeah, we're all pretty stoked with how it's actually going.
That's cool.
And I was like, well, our contract is like, you know, renewed for album 3. You know, how do you feel about that? And he's like, at the moment, I see no issue why we wouldn't work on you, like with you on another album. And I made him shake my hand on a third album. So, you know. Okay. And now I've told you about it, so that's a verbal that's a verbal contract of a shake hand.
Yeah, sounds good.
So yeah, I think it's going a lot better than I ever thought anything I ever did would.
Yeah, no, that's cool. It's awesome. It's something that I don't know. Actually, are you able to explain how you guys even managed to nab it?
Well, they emailed us.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. See, everything about this is just, I mean, look, maybe I just don't.
Nothing about your story makes sense.
Maybe I just don't associate with successful people anymore. I've got no idea, but I just don't hear these sort of stories happening anymore whatsoever where, you know, bands are getting just great support and opportunities from labels, and especially labels that are fairly established and doing well. I mean, you guys have been around for a little bit locally in Melbourne, but there's no issue with.
We haven't done stuff all overseas.
Yeah, that's it. Like, there's no. I mean, you guys, your product and your music and production is amazing.
Obviously, they reckon, you know, the gamble's going to pay off at some point.
Oh, it's amazing. It's so cool. It's fantastic.
When we were finishing off the second album, we sent it to our Italian guy who put us in touch with Punishment 18. And he had to listen to the album and he's like, look, this is really good, but, you know, I don't think we're going to be able to help you on this. And I was like, ah, got it. I really wanted, you know, Distro again.
Mm.
And he goes, oh, I might know someone though, so give us a moment. And about 2 weeks later, he goes, so Metal Blade are interested. They're probably going to email you. And there was like, you know, the freak out moment. And then you're like, just checking your email every 5 minutes, just refreshing it until you get it. And then, yeah, the guy emails me, he introduces himself. He's like, we've had a listen to the album. We'd like to offer you a deal. And I was like, send me anything. I'll fucking sign it. Like, I will not read this. And yeah, it just kind of went from there. Yeah. And when we actually went to Italy, our mate Luke Bozio, the guy who hooked us up, came over. And he told us how it actually happened. He's been friends with Andreas from Metal Blade for a very long time and said, here's this band I've worked with. They're really cool dudes and they write some nice thrash metal. He sent them one song and Andreas emailed back and goes, have you got anything else? So he sent him another song and then he emailed back, what's their email? And yeah, it just kind of happened from there.
That's cool.
We got a contract and then we signed it and now we've got friends.
Now you're rock stars.
Mm.
Living it up.
Now I'm all legit and shit.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm going to have to file tax forms.
Yeah, that's right, mate. That's right. No, it's cool. It's just so awesome, and it's good to hear that somebody's just making some headway and getting some much deserved success. It's cool. I mean, you know how much I've been sort of carrying on about your music and everything online and talking to people about, you know, the last album and everything.
Mate, honestly, I blocked you a long time ago. I've got no idea what you're up to.
So yeah, it's all the rant posts that I too much flooding on Facebook. I need to get a life. But
just so much negativity, man.
I know. I'm such an asshole. I need to take something for that.
There was a bit of an Australian. There was, you know, other than the airborne patches, we did actually run into Neil Liviscaris in Nuremberg.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They were touring with Cradle of Filth at the time.
Yeah.
And I did see, I glimpsed a, you know, there was plenty of Mortal Sin shirts at the German shows.
Yeah.
You know, old school thrash. But I did see a Trolled Hogan shirt or two.
Yeah, right. That's cool.
Yeah, I saw some Bellacore stuff.
That's awesome.
There was a couple of Aussie bands that were, yeah, especially the patches.
Yeah.
A couple of Desecrated patches, Malice's Wake patches, stuff like that.
That's cool. Yeah, definitely...
There might have been a Suicide patch even.
Oh, well, far out. Yeah, there's more bands than ever that are getting over to Europe now, and there are more opportunities. A lot of those bands, or well, most of those bands are sort of relatively DIY. And doing a great job, and you know, there's a few of you guys now that are getting some great label label support as well. But it's definitely the doors seem to be opening for a lot more bands now than ever. And I think a lot of Aussie bands are starting to get it and go, you know what, there's a lot to be had internationally. And while, you know, it's really, really fucking expensive to get over there, but if you but if you do it right and you're smart about it, then you can make it work. You just can't be an idiot about it and just dive in and go into instant debt for the rest of your life. There's a few bands I look at that get these gigantic, awesome European tours, and I definitely won't drop any names, but I just laugh because I find out how much they're paying to play it without even factoring in any travel expenses or anything else, and just going, how the hell? Like, either you've got somebody well and truly cashed up sitting behind the scenes, or you're going to go into severe debt instantly. And the worst thing, and actually I was going to ask you about this, I will, a lot of bands do fuck all after they go and do these awesome tours in Europe.
They come back and they can't afford to do anything.
They can't do anything. And
they don't ride the hype at all.
No, that's it. They don't do any press. They don't, I mean, even for a lot of bands, and I think you guys did a bit while you're overseas, but just not even just doing the internet, social media sort of stuff and the online promo and just all these missed opportunities.
Yeah, I'm slowly begrudgingly accepting how important social media is.
It's
like, I really hate it, but God, you've got to use it.
And there's smart ways of doing it where you're not spending all your days online all the time. You can sort of stagger out and schedule stuff and automate it and whatnot. But yeah, it's so crucial now for bands to have more presence on all these stupid platforms like Instagram and Facebook and whatever else is out there.
But Twitter and Instagram and...
That's it. You got to keep up with the times.
Down the other. Yeah.
As far as next steps for you guys, and you mentioned that, you know, a bit of networking in Europe and chatting to people and hopefully some more touring opportunities and whatever. Is there any particular plans for next year at the moment? Or
there's a couple of stuff in the pipelines, but, you know, we haven't... I've yet to see the contracts, though. So, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, cool. So
we've got about three potential ideas, one dream, and one definite goal.
Oh, cool.
Sounds good. About all you need, really.
And is it going to be more without... trying to press for info, but is it more of a case of just continuing to push the album? So it's more or less touring that you're going to be pushing next year.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, cool. Sounds good.
Just pushing albums we got, working on another album that we don't have, writing music because, you know, that's what I like to do.
Because you're a creative soul.
Yeah, I am. I'm deep, man.
You're deep. You're
deep as...
You're a deep thrasher. And all right, so the next 12 months, lots of stuff in the pipeline. Stay tuned. But if you went back 12 months prior compared to then to now, this might be a bit too vague of a question, but what's the biggest change that you can see, whether it's yourself or the band?
Oh man, I've got the biggest fucking ego now after Europe.
Headline like spots now, everywhere
see,
now.
See, before I thought I was amazing, but now I know.
initially you were just a lovable cunt. Now you're just a cunt.
Yeah. Now I'm just flat out cunt. I often think about what we've done in the last 2 years, and I kind of freak out that it was, you know, in... Since November of 2013, we've released both of our albums. We got signed to Punishment 18 and then Metal Blade. We did an Australian tour and we've done a European tour. And I honestly didn't ever think that any of that was ever really going to happen. So I just kind of take everything as it comes and just kind of enjoy it.
Enjoy it while
it's there. I never really thought any of this was going to happen. I certainly don't think I deserve any of this is happening. I've just kind of, got rolling with it.
Cool.
I'm fortunate that everyone just tells me what I should and shouldn't do.
Well, actually, I was going to ask that. So within your band, do you have your designated mother or aka designated band manager?
Well, I spoke about my nickname Muggsy before.
Yeah.
On tour, it was Muggsalini.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I was somewhat of the dictator.
Yeah, right. Oh, mate.
Yeah. Someone's got to do it. Someone's got to rein in musicians. They're not the easiest people to organise at the best of times.
No, no, especially if you need to be at a certain place at a certain time. And you know,
Some people don't grasp urgency. They don't grasp that as a concept. They don't understand it, nor do they appreciate it.
Yep, and don't understand the concept of other people around you and things that other people may or may not need due to your presence or your non-presence. Yeah. So it's, No, I can relate to that.
You spend 6.5 weeks on a bus with certain people and you start to realize how loudly they breathe at times. If they've got a nose whistle, it becomes all you can fucking hear. Yeah, like that scene in The Simpsons when Ned Flanders is in charge next to Homer and his nose is whistling as he breathes. It was like that.
was it a case that by the end of that 6 or 6.5 weeks when you got home, there was just like, all right, guys, it's been fun, but I don't want to see you guys for at least a few weeks.
It was see you fuckers in Adelaide. We had a gig planned like 3.5 weeks later and we were like, I don't want to see any of you until then.
Yeah.
We went to an airport and then we met all back at an airport 3.5 weeks later.
We get like that after.
To do a 45-minute flight.
We get like that after a weekend together. It's just like, that's enough. that's enough. Yeah. Oh, cool. All right, man. Well, I'll let you go. Thank you so much for having a chimwag. And,
not a problem.
I'll chuck all the links to the album and you can give me some preferred links, you know, because you still got your online store, don't you? Actually, what happens with your Metal Blade stock? Do you guys get given stock to sell as well as...
We got handed a big bunch of stuff when we landed in Frankfurt to sell. And we organized, you know, you can order more because they've just got distributors. So it's pretty handy. We got like 100 free CDs and 50 free vinyls and the rest we just have to like buy at cost price.
Mm-hmm.
Which they've got, yeah, obviously good printers because the cost price was like a fraction of what I pay for T-shirts down here. So
and,
it's pretty good.
Mega jealous of you guys being on vinyl as well. That's that's kind of cool.
It's a bit weird because I just don't listen to vinyl.
No, who listens to vinyl? You just buy it and you just stick it in the shelf or put it on the wall and go, oh yeah, look at that. Yeah, I've got a vinyl.
Check that out. That's signed.
Awesome. Well, I'll put a bunch of links up so people know where to buy your stuff.
It's lemonparty.org.
Yeah. If I put that link on my site, I've got a feeling I'm going to get blocked somehow. Someone's going to – actually, do you know what? If you type lemonparty.org into Facebook chat, Facebook blocks that link straight away. It comes up with like a little error message saying this link is restricted, you cannot post this or something like that. Because I tried to trick someone with that link a while back and it just backfired on me straight away. I was like, oh well. So then I had to send a text message to them.
Then you had to send the meat pin instead.
Yeah. I haven't tried typing that link in. I might have to see whether that one works or not. Yeah. Oh, cool. Oh, thanks, mate. And I might catch up with you next year when you guys have got a few more things to announce.
No worries, man. I'll see you around.
See you. See you at the top. Right. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed that one. It was a really cool one with Andrew. We'll have to catch up in the new year once they've sorted out some of those plans that hopefully will come to fruition for them. I'm going to put all the links to Harlot in the show notes where you can pick up the albums and especially through Metal Blade as well. And everything we spoke about, I'll put all links through the show notes. As said at the start, this episode was not brought to you by my wall-mounted Ice House poster of Ivor Davies. I'll put a picture up of that with him with his beautiful shiny mullet. And as mentioned before, 10% off through the Lord online store. Use the code word AndySocial, lord.net.au/store. Heaps of Lord and Dungeon merchandise, as well as a bunch of other things in there as well. Find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Get on there, get interactive, like, share, comment, retweet, whatever the hell you do. It all helps get more activity to the pages and increase awareness and more reach and coverage to more people to hopefully attract them to this podcast and listen to my angelic voice. And of course, iTunes as well. Get on there, leave me a rating or a review. It's piss easy. And if you use another device, if you use Android or you use another platform, if there's any way of leaving comments on particular pages, even if it's on my website, if you want to leave a comment, if you're listening directly through the website, so which would mean you're in front of a computer right now, scroll right down to the bottom of the page, which you should already be down there, and you should be able to leave a comment on there. And if you can't, I'm not in front of my computer right now, but I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure there's an option there to leave comments down the bottom. So get interactive, share stuff around on Facebook. And if you do know people that would enjoy this interview or any of the other episodes that I've done in the past, please pass it along, because the more people we can get to tune in and listen, the bigger and better I can make this and return the favor back to you guys with great guests and great giveaways and great discounts and all sorts of stuff along the way. Heaps of stuff coming up, lots more recorded episodes. I don't even know when this one's going to come out, so I'm not even going to carry on about that. But thank you as always for listening. And if you're new for the first time, I hope you enjoyed it, and hopefully you'll be tuning in for the next one as well. Thanks guys, and speak soon. You're a day.